scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguila. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get this hour underway. It is Friday, March 22nd, and this hour of Flames Talk is getting going on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Pat Steinberg along with you. It's a Friday, and that means it's the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry cares for their horses, employs Albertans, and contributes to the economy. Visit thehorses.com, 18+. Please play responsibly. And we say hello to Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. Joins us this hour on Flames Talk every Friday. And, man, it feels like we've been talking about goaltending all season long, Eric. And here we are again talking about goaltending as the Flames made the announcement on Thursday that Dan Vladar done for the season. He's going to have season-ending hip surgery, which means Jacob Markstrom, who is cleared to return, and Dustin Wolf will be your tandem for the rest of the regular season. And man, whether, you know, there are just, whether it comes to the future of Jacob or the way they're going to split the starts or whatever the case may be, we sure do have a ton to sink our teeth into between now and the end of the regular season. So many different ways to dive in on this goaltending situation now.
Yeah, I mean, you can start taking your wagers on what you think the tandem will be next year. But, you know, my approach to it, you know, when I wrote about it the other day, was just, you know, this is the beginning of the Dustin Wolf era. Like, this is the unofficial beginning where from now for the next, I don't know how many years, he will be one of the two guys moving forward. There's very little doubt in my mind that's the way it's going to be. I mean, the only thing that will prevent that is if the organization just doesn't feel it can get anywhere near what either Vladar or Markstrom are worth on the open market this summer. And if that's the case, then there is a chance you'd still see somewhat of a three-headed monster next year. But I think everybody in the organization, well, I shouldn't say everybody, but I think a lot of people in the organization, I certainly think a lot of fans, and I think you and I, correct me if I'm wrong, believe that it's time. Like next year, starting in the fall, it's time for Dustin Wolf to be a full-time NHLer. You know, he's got nothing more to prove. We keep hearing that. This is his third full year in the pros. The first two he absolutely dominated, was the goalie of the year and is the reigning MVP in the AHL. And now you got a scenario where, you know, again, I don't think you have to necessarily rush it. But if you're going to do a rebuild or a retool or whatever you want to call it, you might as well also include the most important position in that. So, and I also think, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one too, I also think that Jacob Markstrom's, you know, I don't know if it's his attitude or what he says or what he doesn't say, or certainly the day when he lashed out at the organization, I sense the frustration is there that he would be one of the first to say at their year-end meeting to Craig Conroy, it's probably time for us to part ways. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I think the organization is from what I understand, the organization's already under the impression or is aware whether Jacob and his representation have, you know, officially gone to the Flames or not. I think they're aware that he would like to be in a situation where he can win and win now. And I think they've been aware for quite some time that if Jacob had his way, and if all things were equal, Jacob would want to be on a team that is close to winning a Stanley Cup, or at the very least is looking at being a playoff team in the next 2 years, which is what he's got left on his contract. And so the only thing that I'm interested about is what the Flames do in the summertime when they speak with him. So when we get to the final day of the regular season and when we get to Jacob's exit interview with Craig Conroy, What does that look like? And what does Craig have for Jacob to sell him on the direction they might be going? Is there anything that Craig can do to say, hey, we would really like you to be Dustin's tandem mate. We think it would be extremely valuable for Dustin to learn from you. And we still want you around because you're our MVP this season. We don't want you going anywhere. This is what our plan looks like for the next 2 or 3 years. Is there a way he can convince Jacob to stick around? I don't know the answer to that question, Francis, but it does kind of strike me as more likely to your point that he says, hey, you know, whether it's New Jersey or another team that has eyes on the playoffs, maybe that if you can make it happen, maybe that is the best way for this thing to go.
Yeah, I agree. I just, that's from all indications I've gotten, I think that's the way it's going to go. And I don't think that the organization's all that interested in sitting there, as you kind of just suggested at the end. I don't think Craig wants to be the guy to sit there and go, okay, Jacob, listen, you've kind of voiced your displeasure and now you're telling me that you might want to move on. Is there any way we could convince you to stay? Like, they tried to do that with Hannifin at the end. They also tried to do that with Tanev. But at the end of the day, he also opened up his entire tenure as the GM saying, when guys don't want to be here, we don't want them here.
Yep.
And we'll find places for them. So I definitely don't believe that it ever got to the point where Chris Tanev did not want to be here or Noah Hannifin did not want to be here. But they did not want to be here long term. They weren't going to sign long term. Therefore, they wanted to get assets for them. So I think more and more in the National Hockey League, and you're seeing teams trade guys, you know, 2 years out, a year and a half out, as opposed to that last year, because I think you've also seen a lot of examples where teams wait a little too long. And in that final year where they're just a rental, you get limited, you know, by quite a bit in terms of what your options are, you know, trade-wise. So, you know, maybe that, I do think that this summer is the perfect time to trade Jacob Markstrom if that's the route you want to go. Listen, this organization, this team, I'm not saying that there isn't an argument that can be made that you need to keep Markstrom because he is your MVP.
Yep.
If you really want to make the playoffs next year, he's the smartest idea. Like, the smartest idea is to keep him. But if the grand scheme of things, the big picture is keep building with young players and, you know, hope to maybe get into the playoffs. But the real goal is to build for 2 or 3 years from now, 4 years from now, then obviously I would say that trading the goaltender is a smart move. So what they do with Jacob Markstrom this summer will say a ton about the blueprint that this general manager is mapping out for the organization. Because if you trade him, that's definitely signaling that you don't – it's not about necessarily making the playoffs. Sure, you'd love to make the playoffs as a bonus, but that's not what the goal is next year if you trade Markstrom. Because no team trades their MVP player –
yeah,
in the summer if they really are hell-bent on making the playoffs.
Yeah, and it's really fascinating now that we're on the Markstrom trade. It feels like you and I have been talking about the possibility of them moving Jacob for the better part of like 6 months at this point. And, you know, you and I were on the same page leading into the trade deadline that it felt unlikely that a deal was going to get done before March 8th. And obviously it's March 22nd and Jacob's still a member of the Flames, so it didn't happen. And I know that you felt this way. And so I think it's important to maybe point out why we felt this way. This is where I was coming from as to why it made more sense in the summertime, is that I just felt there wasn't a market for Jacob Markstrom at this year's deadline. There was one team.
No.
It was New Jersey. Whereas New Jersey's still going to be interested in June and July. And you know what? Maybe Carolina soils the sheets and their goaltending ends their playoff run and wastes another year in their Stanley Cup window. Or Los Angeles has poor goaltending, and that's the main reason why they go out early. Or Toronto, or whatever the case may be. All of a sudden, you have another team or two that is engaged on trying to meaningfully improve their goaltending, and the Flames have the number one goaltending chip on the market. Well, it just it makes sense that you'll be able to get a better return this summer. That's my belief, because nothing's going to change about the opinion people have of Jacob Markstrom and how strong he was this season between now and the summertime, in my opinion. So I think you've got a much better chance to maximize assets come the summertime.
I agree. You know, the best way to get a good haul for any player is to have a bidding war going on. That's just the simple supply and demand. And if there's lots of demand, then people are going to pony up big time. So that wasn't the case there this year. But, you know, as I agree, you nailed it. You summed up exactly the way we've both been thinking. Listen, if the summer comes and still nobody's valuing a starting goaltender of Markstrom's ilk the way that this organization feels it should, I don't think they should trade Jacob Markstrom. I only think you need to trade him if you feel you're getting exactly what you think he's worth, right? Every general manager puts a price on any player that's up for grabs.
Yep.
And as soon as someone meets that price, you seriously consider trading anybody in the league, anybody. So I do think Jersey will revisit it. The comments from their GM after the trade deadline were interesting, because I don't think that's going to help them down the road. When he basically said teams were, you know, what was the word? Extortion.
Yeah.
He used, like, grow up. I do think several teams will want it. There's going to be four or five teams that miss out in the first round, and they're going to say, man, we were a goalie away from really doing some damage. So anyway, we're talking in circles now because we've covered this a million, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
Like you said, it feels like 6 months. It hasn't really been that long. It was really only when the rumor came out about Jersey that people started really thinking that this could happen. It'll be an interesting summer. Listen, to me, the biggest story of the summer will be Markstrom. Like, there's no other story that's going to come close in terms of the Calgary Flames, in terms of interest level, right? Yep. Can you tell me what's even second?
No, because there isn't one. The future, it's kind of like the last piece now of moving on from this old guard. I mean, that's the last decision that I think, you know, you can talk about Huberdeau or you can talk about Kadri, and I guess, but you have to squint a whole lot more to see that happening this summer. As much as people think it might happen or should happen or would be good for it to happen, and people have varying opinions on that, it doesn't seem imminent like it does with Markstrom, and it doesn't seem like a decision is very much in front of Craig Conroy when it comes to Markstrom, or like it does with Markstrom. So, no, I don't think there's anything that comes close to it, Eric. I think that this is, you know, it may not be the summer that we went through this past summer where they had the six they had to make decisions on, but this is the best goaltender that the Flames have had since Mika Kiprusoff moved on, and now they've got to make a real decision about what his future looks like. So, no, I think that is going to be the number one offseason storyline, and I know you, and I know me, and I know come, like, April 18th or April 19th when we do Locker Cleanout Day at the Dome, yeah, it'll be awesome to hear what everybody has to say, but, I mean, everybody's going to hear from Markstrom. Everybody is going with a couple of locked and loaded questions for Jacob in terms of does he want to be here? Does he see himself here long term? He did a very nice job of avoiding those questions on Thursday, but I think you'll be a whole lot more open and forthright with it when we get to Locker Cleanout Day.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I don't know if he'll shed a lot of light on it, to be honest. I mean, he's not I don't think he needs to. Like, yep. You know, if I was a player, you know, listen, I always go back to Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Tkachuk. You know, both of them said they'd love to be here. They'd love to sign. Like, that's what you have to say. You have to say that you want to be back. You have to say that you love it here. Like, it's just bad business if you say anything other than that. Now, listen, I want guys to be honest. I want guys to rock the boat. I love it when guys say something that we can all write about and talk about on the radio. But the reality is, like, what's the upside of him shedding any light whatsoever on what his plans are this summer? Yep. Just let it play out, yep, and then address it afterwards. That's the way I think he's probably going to go about it. So I don't think he'll say a lot at the end of the year. And I'm not sure Craig Conroy will say a lot at the end of the year about the goaltending situation. They're going to let their actions, say everything, I think.
It is the Eric Francis Hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. And, you know, goaltending once again is the main topic we're hitting on here. And so it then begs the question, what do they do with – we know Dan Vladar will not be factored in now for the rest of the season. So how do you go about your business when it comes to splitting up the workload between now and the end of the regular season? Starting with Saturday's game in Vancouver, Flames have 14 games to go. They're 10 back of a playoff spot. I think it's not a defeatist attitude for you and I to suggest that they are almost certainly playing out the string here. And would some sort of miracle run be amazing? Yeah, we'd love that. But does it really feel likely? Of course it doesn't. So I think just based in reality, we're talking about a group that is playing out the string here. And so from a coaching and management standpoint, I am fascinated to see how they split things up with Markstrom and Dustin Wolf between now and the end of the regular season. I know how I do it, but I'm really curious about how they're going to do it. But how would you, if you made the decisions and Eric Francis had the call on how this plays out between now and the end of the regular season, how do you do it?
I'd give Dustin Wolf probably 10 starts and Markstrom 4, something like that. I don't have a problem with them. You know, Huska told me on Monday that Markstrom was going to practice all week.
Yep.
And would start Saturday. And, that was interesting to me that he kind of was very transparent with that, because usually coaches don't generally tell you who their starter is going to be the next night, let alone 5 nights from now.
Yep.
So I just think that they wanted, for Markstrom, just to remind everybody, he's our number one guy and we're still in a playoff race. They have to act that way. And Saturday night is still an important game in their mind. They have to pretend it's still an important game.
Yeah.
And so I have no problem with them starting Markstrom, and I wouldn't even have them a problem starting Markstrom, the following night as well against Buffalo. But at some point real soon here, the numbers are going to get to the point where it's okay. Now we're playing out the string. And at that point, I think you got to just hand the keys to Dustin Wolf and let Markstrom fill in the gaps for the starter, who would be Dustin Wolf. Now, if you're still thinking about keeping Markstrom for next year, I think you got to go 50-50 at least for Markstrom. Like, you got to give him at least 7 or 8 starts if you think you want to keep him next year. Otherwise, by starting him 4 times or 7 or fewer times, then I think you're stealing his fate, because he'll be like, well, look, clearly they're thinking I'm gone next year.
Yeah.
So they've got to tread carefully. And again, what they do with these starts is going to say a lot about what they're thinking for the summer. So I'm really interested to see what it's going to be. If I had my guess, I would say that Markstrom starts like 10 times and Wolf starts 4.
Which I think would be a giant mistake for the organization.
I would see it as a missed opportunity to find out more and give this youngster even more time to grow and show what he's got. And the other thing is, I guess that's not my official prediction that he would start 4. I think the worst case would be 7-7. But because you want to show Markstrom respect, you don't want to disrespect him with the hope that, in case you do want to sign him, you also don't want him to get hurt. So there's a lot at stake. We'll find out. I'm really fascinated to see how it goes. But I also want to add another thing. Listen, I had asked Vladar on a recent road trip. I had run into him at a restaurant, actually, him and Pospisil, and we were just shooting the breeze. And I was asking them both about their plans after the season, like would they consider the world championships and all that. And Vladar had told me that he's going for season-ending surgery. This was a little while ago. So this is not something new.
And nope.
I think everybody knows that now. But, he's known for some time that surgery was going to be the way this season was going to end. But listen, the fact that Markstrom came back and Wolf was going to have to go down right away because he's on an emergency basis here, I think this is just a really smart, I don't want to say creative, but it's a solution for everybody. Why not get Vladar in there earlier rather than later? Like, what's the point of prolonging the injury? You know, get him ready for next year as much as possible. Open up the door for Wolf to get more starts. You got to have room for Markstrom as well. Like, this was just a very common sense decision. A decision that, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, they were still going to wait until the end of the season, is my understanding. But I when I heard that they were bumping it up the other day, I thought, oh, perfect. Like, win for all three guys. I mean, I'm not happy for Vladar. That's too bad that he's going to have surgery, but he knew it was coming. You might as well get it over with.
Yep. One, and best case scenario is that, you know, he is ready in time to start next regular season. So that, and that's why you're like, you hear all that, you're like, you know what, the timing makes sense. You didn't want to run into a three goaltender situation. You didn't want to send Wolf back down to the American League. I don't know if that would have made a ton of sense at this stage of the game. Let's do it now. Let's make sure that you're ready to start next season and then go from there. And then it gives you the opportunity to get a little bit more with Dustin, and it gives you the opportunity to have the conversation with Jacob in terms of what his workload. Because the other thing is, Eric, I think almost all season, Jacob has been dealing with this same lower body injury that's kept him out. I believe this is a nagging injury. I know the Flames have not confirmed this, and neither will Jacob, but like, belief is that this has been a nagging thing that he's been dealing with throughout the entire year. I think we can be pretty sure of that too. So you want to manage Jacob's work, even though there's only 14 games to go, you need to be careful with Jacob. In he wants to play. He's got a competitive streak that's legendary, and that's one of the reasons why he's such a good goaltender and such a good teammate and so well respected. But you also have to do what's best for him. You have to do what's best for his potential trade value, and you have to do what's best for him in being ready for next season too, which just adds even more credence. Like, it would be ludicrous for them to go Saturday, Sunday Markstrom. Like, there would be zero reason to do that. I would be ripping my hair out if they went Jacob on Sunday as well. You've got this opportunity to get Dustin Wolf at least half of the starts between now and the end of the regular season. He has helped you win games, so it's not like you're messing with your competitive balance. You're managing Jacob Markstrom properly. You're getting Dustin the reps that he needs to develop, and you're getting more of a look at what could be your goaltender of the future. Like, it feels like, and obviously taking Dan out of the equation because it's not a win for him, but with an unfortunate situation, you're looking at, in my eyes, a win-win-win across the board. Split it down the middle. Go 7-7. Get Dustin his starts. Manage Jacob properly, but still get him some playing time. If they were to go anything less than a 7-7 split, it would be a big-time head-scratcher for me.
Yeah, you're right about the back-to-backs. Of course, you wouldn't play Markstrom back-to-back, especially coming off an injury. That makes a ton of sense. So, no, I think 7-7 is a really good split. We'll have to see how everything goes. I know we have a back-to-back in California near the end of the season. I think there's only a couple back-to-backs left, if that. It may just be the one. It will be very telling, right? If it's lopsided one way or the other, I think that will be a tell by the general manager on what he's thinking.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that in terms of what it could indicate for the summertime and the way they might go about their business. And I guess that's kind of the final point here. Let's say that it does. Many believe that Jacob will be moved this summer. And let's just for a second assume that that is the way this is going to go. We don't know. And there's still a lot to be determined, but let's assume that is the way they go. Does that signal for you that it is a for sure Wolf and Vladar tandem for next year? Or could we be talking about two new goalies for next year? Like, would they be comfortable going Vladar and Wolf, two guys that neither have proven that they're ready to be number ones or take on a significant workload? Or do they go and look for a veteran who might be able to pair more naturally with a guy like Dustin, and maybe we're talking about them moving on from both guys between now and the start of the regular season?
Well, I guess anything's possible. I hadn't really thought outside the parameter. You know, obviously they'd have to go get another goalie for the organization in terms of whether he's that, you know, 2B or, you know, number three guy who's going to play in the AHL mostly, but also be that, you know, solid backup. They clearly have to go replace somebody if they get rid of Markstrom, for example.
Yep.
But I don't think it makes much sense to spend significant cap space or assets on it being, you know, a big ticket item. I'm not saying you'd spend, you know, $4 or $5 million on that guy anyway. I'd be content with it being Vladar and Wolf. I think Vladar is very capable, a really good backup in the league. And I think most teams in the league would be happy with a Dan Vladar as their backup. He hasn't shown that progression, I think, in a lot of people's eyes that would show that maybe he should be pushing for a starting gig. But, you know, again, he's been injured a lot of this year, or we don't know how long, but hip injury is pretty significant.
Yeah.
And his numbers haven't been good this year, but that's also a product of the team just collapsing in front of him the last couple and absolutely ballooning his numbers. I would go with those two. If you trade Markstrom, you know, go with those two, and then be real interesting to see what you're looking for in terms of a guy who'd be your third stringer. Cause you want a guy with NHL experience to be your third stringer. Cause at some point, you know, Vladar would be coming off surgery. You got to be prepared for the possibility that guy is going to play some significant time in the NHL. So when we were talking earlier about what would be the second storyline behind the goalie situation this summer, and you said there is none, I would say that if I had to predict what it'll be, they're going to have some significant cap space.
Yeah.
And I think that will be very interesting to me. This organization definitely needs to go out and get a center or two. And I don't know, it'll be very interesting to me how they spend that money. Are you going to be in the market for the top center out there? Guess who the top center out there is?
Would it be, it would probably be Sean Monahan, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sean Monahan or Elias Lindholm. But, you know, Lindholm will be signed by somebody. But isn't that ironic that, you know, there's an organization that desperately needs centers and they've traded two of them away that could potentially be on the open market. So, but how they fill those roles, I do think that there's a desire to get a veteran defenseman and a veteran center in here to kind of help these youngsters along. So how they fill those roles will be very interesting to me too.
Well, and I guess I don't know if it's just a this season storyline, like an immediate storyline, but as they are retooling here, and that's the word they want to go with, so they're retooling on the fly, as they're doing this, I am fascinated to see how Craig Conroy and company decide to or go about approaching the whole idea that they need some foundational pieces here. And I think Zeri has been a great find. Pospisil's been a great find. We know that Kadri and Huberdeau and Uyghur and Anderson are under contract. We believe Dustin Wolf is a foundational piece going forward, and they hope he definitely is. They've got some other nice pieces. Coronado's progressed throughout the year and a few other names. But they need to find their next guy to truly build around. Like, who is the elite player that they're going to build around? And they've got a surplus of draft picks. So you're looking at over the next three drafts, they've got to hit on big time on one or two of these first rounders, or they've got to go and package these picks or some of these picks up anyway and try to find that type of foundational player via trade. And it's not a just this offseason thing. That's more of a bigger picture thing. But to me, that is the number one challenge that they're going to have. Is you want to be a cup contender, you've got to have those true elite foundational pieces. Everybody talks about how Vancouver has retooled on the fly. They've retooled on the fly partially or almost substantially because they had Elias Pettersson and Quinn Hughes to build around. And the Flames need to find something like that. And I love Zeri. I love Coronado. I am really intrigued by Brustevich. And I think Wolf's a great piece. But can they, in the next 2 or 3 years, find one of those pieces that you can say, yes, this is the foundational piece. This is kind of the true leader of what comes next. way easier said than done, but that is truly what I think is the number one challenge for this organization now.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think that's going to be something very interesting to watch as we go forward as well. So, to think that this team, they've got so many good youngsters that they want to take a solid look at. And if that means, one or two years of pain, I think that's what they're prepping for. But they would like to insulate them all with proven veterans. Again, hey, another storyline this summer, Pat, could be whether or not some of these veterans want to be here. I asked that Nazem Kadri. You didn't,
yep.
Did you sign up? You know, this is not exactly what you signed up for. You came here to be a complimentary second line center who could help put a team over the top. Maybe not to win a cup, but they were building towards something when Brad Treliving signed him. He didn't really shed a lot of light on it. But I think it's a legitimate question. And
yep.
I you could ask the same question to Mackenzie Weegar. You could ask the same question to Rasmus Anderson. Listen, I think they're pros, and all these guys, for the most part, are just saying, hey, you know what? Things change in sport. We've got a real interesting challenge here. I like being a leader. I like being a mentor. I want to be part of this. I know it's a bit of a retool, but I take pride in this. I think we've really seen Kadri, the best of Kadri. I think he's been fantastic this year, not just with his play on the ice. He's been very consistent, but also his leadership, in terms of taking these youngsters under his wing, showing patience with them, trying to teach them, and making them better players, and them in turn making him a better player. Like, that's been a really refreshing story that I'm not sure a lot of people could have predicted would be the case in this scenario.
Yeah.
So the future of those guys is also very interesting. Do I think that Weegar, Kadri, or Anderson are going to come to the team and say, I want out, trade me? I don't really, but you have to leave open that possibility. And it is a legitimate question/concern if you're a Flames fan.
Yeah. Some of these exits, I wish I could be flies on the wall for some of these exit interviews whenever they happen. They'd be fascinating to see what comes out of them this time around. So, well, we've got 14 games to go between now and the end of the regular season, and plenty more intrigue in terms of what we see between now and then. And then, obviously, as we head towards the off season, we'll have all kinds of things to keep our eye on. It's Steinberg and Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. It's the Eric Francis Hour on this Friday, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18 plus. Please play responsibly.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, continuing along on this Friday's Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry cares for their horses, employs Albertans, and contributes to the economy. Visit thehorses.com. 18 plus. Please play responsibly. And yes, every Friday on Flames Talk, Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca on the Eric Francis Hour. And, we spent a good chunk of the first half talking about goaltending and what comes next. Do want to make sure we spend a little bit of time on Jacob Pelche, and then we'll wrap it up with just the best news of all. But Jacob Pelche has now played two games this week with the Calgary Wranglers of the American Hockey League. Eric, he was assigned there on Tuesday morning and is with the Wranglers for the time being. And it just has not been Pelche's year. Nothing has gone right for this young man, going all the way back to the preseason and training camp, and he's barely played. And after that second injury, when he got belted by Jacob Trouba and came back a few games later, he's struggled to make an impact, and he got scratched a couple of games. His ice time slowly came down and down and down. It's just... It feels like the best move for his development. He's got to go back and play. He's got to go back and get some confidence back. And this one, putting him in the American League for a few weeks, the rest of the season, whatever it ends up being, I think it's absolutely necessary to make sure that this is not a complete lost year of development for the 2019 first-round pick.
Yeah, opportunity. It's an opportunity. It's not, some people would say it's a demotion. he looks at it as an opportunity. And I think that's so important and not surprising that, you know, his attitude is great ever since he moved down there. He wants to play games. That was his quote. That's what he wants to say. That's what he told Wes. You know, like, I get it. That's what he needs to do. And, you know, is he helping this team up at the big club? No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Certainly as a healthy scratch, he wasn't. And even when he was in the lineup, he wasn't really an impact player. So no point in keeping him here. He's not helping the team and wasn't really even helping himself. So I think it'd be great to go down there, get some confidence, you know, put up some points, but just more than anything, just play. So, I don't think when he looks back at this season, he'll be like, man, that sucked. That whole season sucked. But you learn from it. And he's a guy who tries to take the positive out of everything, which is incredible. And he'll try to spin this into a real positive too. And I think you'll see him come back to camp next year and be even in a better shape to be an everyday NHLer.
Yeah. You really hope for a few guys. So, you know, you got Pelche, Matt Coronato, and Dustin Wolf, who will likely all play in the American League playoffs for the Wranglers, and they hope to go get some reinforcements back and kind of be that team that can put together a really nice run in the Calder Cup playoffs. You hope that for all three of those guys, that's their last time in the American League, hey? Like, you just hope that they go there, they play, they finish out the season with some playoff hockey. Maybe they can go on a deep run, win a round or two, and have some really positive vibes going into the offseason. And then Pelche, Coronato, Wolf, they're just NHLers from that point forward. That would be a nice little way to start this retool, hey?
Yeah, I think for those guys, they'd all feel a lot better about it, especially if they could go on a bit of a playoff run. I'm not sure the Wranglers, I don't follow them. Other than to read about them, I haven't been to one of their games for a while. But it doesn't sound like they've got the horses like they've had in the past. I mean, Flames have been stealing all their good players. I mean, that stands to reason. So it'd be interesting to see if they could put together a bit of a run, though. And it'd be great for those guys. I think Coronado's looked better lately.
Agreed.
Just over the last couple, more engaged. Every time I talk to him, he talks about how he's got to win those puck battles. And so I watch that every time he's around there. It's not the kind of thing you generally watch, you know, you kind of hone in on when you're watching a player, but for him, I do. And I think he wins a lot more than he loses, or it seems to me anyway, because it means everything to him now. And I'm not sure it meant everything to him before. I think before he was more a guy who just like, give me the puck and I'll put it in the net. Now he's focusing on so many other things. And I think the coaches are happy with that.
And I will say on the Pelche front, he continues to, He's still extremely well-liked by his teammates. Hey, I mean, I remember the poker tournament. Blake Coleman was sitting down with us, and he just brought up what Jacob brings to the locker room without even being prompted. He was just talking about the group, and he's talking about how important Pelts is, and that enthusiasm and that energy and that positivity. That certainly doesn't get forgotten among teammates, hey?
Oh, no. Like, and he's the kind of guy when – if he was called up again this year, or if the next time a lot of these, they see him still because he's in Calgary and he'll be at year-end parties and all that, but he's the kind of guy who literally, when you walk into a room and you see Jacob Pelche there, you smile just because you know he's all happy and he's smiling. And I think his teammates really feed off that too. They've talked about that endlessly with him. So yeah, very popular. Every guy in there is cheering for him. And every guy in there will do whatever they can to help him in camp next year to be an even better, more impactful player.
Let's wrap up this week's Eric Francis Hour with some really good news. And that is the news that Lanny McDonald is able to be back at the Dome. He was there on Saturday in Calgary's 5-2 win over Montreal. He was with some of his 1989 Stanley Cup winning teammates with the Flames as they were celebrating the 35th anniversary. And it was just like, that was a 5-2 win, great atmosphere, but there's no doubting what the highlight of Saturday was. And that was seeing Lanny get the standing ovation that he got when he was shown on screen. And, you know, you had a chance to chat with him this week and just an incredible column you wrote over at sportsnet.ca detailing just how how harrowing that experience was in early February when he had his cardiac event, and how close to not being with us Lanny McDonald really was. He joined us on Wednesday's Flames Talk, and you know, as you and I have spoken about, you could tell, you could hear the emotion in his voice. It's just, it's so awesome to have Lanny back, and knowing that, you know, especially how serious this whole thing was, it's just, it's great to know that Lanny's still part of this this Flames family. Hey,
oh, like, you know, I don't know how many people you can compare him to, but I know the way people in Montreal revere Jean Béliveau, I think is about the best way I can kind of, you know, compare it, you know, or like he's royalty. He's iconic. He's the biggest name in Calgary sports. He's, and it's not just because of the way he played. I mean, he was a Hall of Famer, but it's because of the way he carries himself and does so much for this city. And I was so thrilled to chat with him and Ardell. Colin Patterson joked after, he says, I think that's the first time in history Ardell's ever been quoted. But he wanted her. They decided to do the interview together with me because Lanny doesn't really remember a whole lot about the 5 days between the cardiac episode, as they put it, and the quadruple bypass surgery. Understandably, he doesn't remember a whole lot of it. So she wanted to help fill in any details that, you know, for any questions I had there. And boy, you know, did she ever paint a picture of that scene at the Calgary airport? Yeah. And I know Lanny talked to you guys about it, but you know, like I'll tell you a few things that I didn't include in the article that, and you guys didn't really talk to about either, because it's, you know, real inside baseball. But like, this happened in the 10 minutes. There was about a 10 minute window there between getting off the plane and being at his car. And if that happens, as he said, if that happens while I'm on the plane, I'm dead. If that happens in the parking lot, I'm dead, or in my car, I'm done. It was just real fortuitous that it happened there. People jumping to turn him over because Ardell couldn't turn him over. He felt weak in the knees and he collapsed. He smoked his head really badly. Like he had quite a bruise on his head.
Yeah.
That's the last thing he remembers. But the, you know, the two nurses who jumped in, they were on their way to Hawaii, and they know their names, but they haven't met with them yet. They really want to. And the police officer, they know who he is, but he's not real interested in having his name out there. Just all three of them say it. We're just doing our job, which is awesome.
Yep.
But that one sentence where Ardell said to me, and Lanny repeated it for you guys, where that cop was pushing so hard on Lanny's chest that he broke his ribs and his sternum, that he was punching through to China. I'm like, wow, is that ever a descriptive way? And Ardell said, like, do you have to hit him that hard? And he said, yes. And while it saved his life, Ardell's convinced he was dead. And I think, I don't know about the legal term, but, you know, he was on his way to heaven is the way she put it. And I don't think there's any question about that. And certainly if those people didn't jump in, that's amazing. But what I think is really cool about the whole story, the ovation on Saturday, those people helping him is, Lanny has spent the bulk of his life doing little things to help people and brighten their days, whether it's a smile, a handshake, a photo, a conversation, a children's hospital visit, like signing a jersey for someone. Like, Lanny's done it all. Remember that story years ago, a bunch of teenagers, their car went in the ditch in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
Who was there with a winch and a bunch of cables to pull them out? Lanny McDonald. Like, this is just what he does. This is who he is. And the fact that this city got a chance to, in their tiny way, 18,000 people got to stand and give him that stirring ovation, that he was crying when it happened. He said he's cried a lot over the last 5-6 weeks.
Yep.
You know, I said, that's just people getting a chance to to repay the favor in the smallest of ways. Like, don't you see that, Lanny? And he says, I never thought about it that way at all. But that's exactly what that was. And those people helping him in the airport, he deserved that. I mean, every human being deserves to be helped at a time like that, for sure. But it's just so wonderful that people got that opportunity to help this iconic you know, incredible humanitarian. He's the greatest person I've ever met in my life. I've said that a million times. Guys like him and Sheldon Kennedy are absolute royalty in my eyes. I hold them in the highest of esteem. And every time I'm with either one of those guys, I feel lucky. Maybe that's dramatic, but I just feel lucky. And they make you feel special, even though they know everyone in town, but they make you feel like you are, you know, special. So the fact that we still get more moments with Lanny McDonald is, like you said at the beginning of this, the great news in all this. It was just, we're so lucky, and we're all so happy that he's doing well. And I'm also happy that he won't be playing with chainsaws or ladders anymore. God, that cracked me up when Ardell said, like, he's been told he has to change his lifestyle. No more chainsaws and ladders. And I thought she was going to start laughing. But she's like, the farm boy in him loves his chainsaws, loves his ladders, loves doing everything around the house and around their place in Montana. Now he's got to ask for help. And I thought, my God, at 71 years of age, the guy's still playing with chainsaws. God, Laddie, get another hobby.
The last thing that I'll say, and I just love that Lanny said this to wrap up his chat with Wes and me earlier this week. He just talked about the alumni and just how involved the Flames alumni is, and I will heartily, and I know you will as well, I will absolutely second him when talking about it's the greatest alumni in professional sports. I don't think there's any doubt about it, and I would put that alumni group up any sport, any continent, doesn't matter. What the Flames alumni does in Calgary and Southern Alberta is second to none in the world, and Lanny is at the forefront of that. Like, that man's schedule is bonkers, and so, you know, the fact, and maybe he does, and he talked about this, he might have to dial back a little bit on the schedule for the next little while or indefinitely, but the fact that, like, that guy has been at every Special Olympics event and at every fundraiser, like, it's just, plus all the things he does with the Hockey Hall of Fame and the NHL as an ambassador, just, it's truly incredible. I guess we shouldn't be surprised is, I guess, the way I'd wrap it up with the outpouring that he's gotten over the last month and a bit here, because worldwide, in this city, in this country, he is. He's absolute royalty. I think that's a perfect way of putting it, my friend.
And he's helped rally that alumni. When they decided, I don't know how many years ago, that they were going to step things up and basically approach things on an even more formal basis and cover more ground, there's no doubt about it. He was the captain. He was the guy who makes it all happen. Those other guys deserve a ton of credit. And just one quick anecdote. I laugh about this. There was a pump park that was built in my neighborhood this summer. It opened in the spring, and two alumni came out to the opening of it. Like, you know, no fanfare, just they came out, and there's Dana Merzen. And I cracked up. Not only do these guys come and they shake hands and they smile and they take photos, they sign autographs, they come with their cards and everything, and they wear their jerseys. But there's Dana Merzen, and he's trying to make the city even better. He's standing there going, well, now that they've got this pump park here, they really do have to make this a playground zone. People can't drive 50 when they go by here. They've got to go 30 because it just makes more sense. That people are going by too fast. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, it got turned into a playground zone, and it was 30 kilometers an hour. And he was dead right. It wasn't just because of him. But I just thought, there's a guy who's just – they're always thinking, how can we help? And that's a great example of it. Yep. So, yeah. And great job with the interview. You know, I felt privileged to be able to chat with him and Ardell, and it was an emotional chat for me. But what made it such riveting radio, and I encourage people to go and listen to it if you didn't hear it, is you can hear the emotion in his voice. You can hear the emotion in your guys' voices, and you will be listening, and you will feel emotional too. I'm just promising you that. So if you haven't gone on and listened to it, please do, because you know, you two guys were talking to hockey royalty, Calgary royalty.
Yep. Thank you, pal. We'll do it all again next week, my friend. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting finish to the season. Thank you, Francis.
Thanks, my man. Have a great weekend.
There you go. He's Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca on Twitter, at Eric Francis. And that'll wrap us up on the Eric Francis Hour, brought to you by Horse Racing Alberta. The Alberta horse racing and breeding industry has an $83 million positive economic impact in Calgary annually. Visit thehorses.com. 18 plus. Please play responsibly.